Today's December 30th, year 2007, and it's the Sunday within the octave of Christmas. And we're going to be commenting upon the gospel reading, which we read about the prophet Simeon telling Mary that Jesus is going to be a great sign for many people, but also a sign of contradiction. So it's going to be joy for the few people that believe in him, but it's also going to be he's going to be contradicted by most people, and it's going to cause her great sorrows. And that's where the Catholic Church develops her devotion to the seven swords of the sorrow of our Blessed Virgin Mother. The first sword of sorrow was the prophet Simeon when he gave this prophecy. The second sword of sorrow was when they had to go into Egypt, and she had to pick up and leave to Egypt. The third sword of sorrow was when she lost Jesus for 3 days. And the fourth sword of sorrow was the meeting of Jesus on the way to the cross. And the fifth sword of sorrow was his crucifixion and death. And the sixth sword of sorrow was the taking down of Jesus from the cross when she held his dead body in her hands. And the seventh sword of sorrow is when Jesus was buried in the tomb. So even though Jesus was going to be the source of great joy, it's also going to be a source of great suffering, because many people were going to contradict him and deny him and persecute him and persecute all those who believe in him. Now I'm going to read when I spoke about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a sign of contradiction. When God speaks to fallen man, it is in a way contrary to his predominant inner senses. Fallen man is presented with a contradiction he must act upon. By God's grace and the law upon his heart, fallen man is made to feel guilty and shameful for following his inner senses that prompt him to do evil. He is presented with a contradiction. His perverse heart, his inner sense, tells him to follow his lusts. Reason, aided by God's grace and the law upon his heart, tells him this is harmful and wrong, piercing his evil and hardened heart with the truth, attempting to purge it of its perversity and turn it toward God. God prompts fallen man to see how his perverse heart contradicts the law God has written upon it, so that he might see the folly of his evil heart. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as a sign of contradiction and a stumbling block. Quote, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted." End quote. That's from Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 34. And what is this contradiction? It is man's perverse inner senses in conflict with God's external truth that seeks to transform his perverse heart into a new heart. Quote, "And I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh," end quote. That's from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Where is the contradiction in fallen man if it is praiseworthy for him to follow his own conscience, his own stony heart? Where is the contradiction if he can be justified and saved by living in explicit opposition to God's will? Fallen man is in the service of the devil. Fallen man does the will of Satan and stumbles when he first hears the gospel. The gospel contradicts his inner senses and lusts that he has been following. Jesus Christ and his teachings represent a stumbling block to him. Quote, "Jesus saith to them, Have you never read in the scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder," end quote. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42 and 44. All converts fall upon the stone and are broken. This is the crucifixion, in that our old man is crucified, the flesh and sin. The cornerstone breaks us and kills us to the world. Quote, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me," says Jesus in Mark 8:34. This is the crucifixion that all faithful Catholics must undergo. No, we must deny ourselves, not follow ourselves. We become dead to the world and alive in Christ. Quote, "Know you not that we all who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer," end quote. That's from Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 6. But this same cornerstone that all goodwill converts stumble over crushes the obstinate because they do not conform to God's will, and it grinds them into eternal death. Quote, and he shall be a sanctification to you, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to the two houses of Israel, for a snare and a ruin to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and very many of them shall stumble and fall, and shall be broken in pieces, and shall be snared and taken. Isaiah 8:14-15, and we read, quote, even as he turned the waters into a dry land, and the earth was made dry, and his ways were made plain for their journey, so to the sinners they are a stumbling block in his wrath. Ecclesiasticus 39:29. This was also proven when the temple fell down. Literally, there was not a stone left upon a stone that wasn't crushed and grinded. And when he says, if you're obstinate, Jesus Christ is going to be the very one that grinds you into eternal death and sends you down to the pits of hell for all eternity. So either you're going to just stumble over the stone like all goodwill people have to in the beginning to conform themselves, or you're going to be crushed by it. And if you're crushed by it, that means you're an obstinate evildoer. As St. Paul says elsewhere too, that the word of God is an odor of sweetness to those who are of goodwill and an odor of death to those who aren't. Now we go on to read. This then are the two courses man can take. One, the good-willed man will conform to the stumbling block so that he no longer stumbles. Two, the bad-willed, who continues to fall and stumble over it, being obstinate, will eventually be crushed, now and forever, in eternal hell. To those who obey the will of God, conforming the contradiction of their perverse senses and heart to the truth, will no longer stumble, nor be confounded. Quote, wherefore, it is said in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. And he that shall believe in him shall not be confounded. To you, therefore, that believe, he is honor. But to them that believe not, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of scandal to them who stumble at the word, neither do believe, whereupon also they are set. 1 Peter 2:6-8. This is one sign for all you people out there, these so-called Catholics are always running around saying, I'm confounded and I'm confused. And they try to make excuses and saying, well, then God will not hold you guilty because you're invincibly ignorant in your confoundment. No. If you're confounded, that means you're lost. If you're confused, that means you're lost. You're on the road to hell. Period. End of discussion. I guarantee you, if you come into the true Catholic Church, which we are teaching here in Maze of the Remnant, you will no longer be confounded at all. Not in the least itty-bitty part of confoundment will ever be in your heart or mind, because we're teaching the full deposit of the Catholic faith, and we're not poisoning you with the non-judgmental and contradicting theology that have been taught for hundreds of years before Vatican II. But I'm telling you, if you're confounded, you're on the road to hell. You're not going to get off the hook by that. You can't go before God and say, it's not my fault, I'm confused. True Catholics, good Catholics, are not confused, and they're not confounded. Now, devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We must not follow our own heart. We must not search within us to find the truth. Our hearts are not to be trusted, and what is within us is inclined to evil. Quote, thus saith the Lord, Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5. Our Lord did not trust men because he knew what was in their heart, their consciences. Quote, many believed his name, seeing his signs which he did, but Jesus did not trust himself unto them, for he knew all men, and because he needed not that any should give testimony of man, for he knew what was in man. John 22:23-24, the devil, evil thoughts, concupiscence of the flesh, and inclinations towards evil. That's what's in man in and of himself. Our Lord did not fully trust even those who believed in him. So we see our own conscience, if unconformed to the will of God and his objective truths as taught by his Catholic Church, is evil. If we follow our own heart as a certain guide, we will fall into evil and be damned to hell. You can see the great import of devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. God wants our perverse hearts to become like unto his Sacred Heart and exactly like Mary's Immaculate Heart, the template for all men. The Holy Prophet Simeon says in the same passage that it refers to Jesus Christ as a sign of contradiction, that swords of sorrow shall pierce the blessed ever-Virgin Mary's Immaculate Heart. Quote, in thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. Luke chapter 2, verse 35. Those of good will look to the perfect human, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is in complete conformity to God's will. They will find their own heart pierced by the anguish she suffered because of her great love of God. Swords of truth pierce even the innocent because they are living in a world that contradicts the truth. Mary had to suffer these swords that pierced her, just as her son's sacred heart was pierced with a lance. If one's heart is not pierced with the love of Mary for God, then this same sword that saves the good-willed will cut the obstinate to pieces, exposing their evil and hard heart that can find no compassion in itself to console and love Mary, the Mother of God. To console Mary is the only true way to console Christ. In this, by our imitation of Mary, we are led to the love of Christ and can console Him as perfectly as she did at the foot of the cross. It is because of her great and perfect love of Christ that she had the greatest sorrows that any creature can ever imagine. Could any of us expect to have a greater love than this mother, Mary, has for her Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh? Jesus, her Son, whom she held in her arms as a babe, nurturing and caring for Him during His whole earthly life. Can you not see that our ultimate goal is to make our hearts exactly like Mary's, a human creature just as we are, and in so doing conform our heart to the likeness of the divine and human sacred heart of Jesus? No, we cannot exactly have a heart like that of Jesus, because His sacred heart is divine and human. We could never be divine, but alas, we can have a heart like unto the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because her heart is a created human heart, like unto ours, but perfect in every way, from the moment of conception. The Blessed Virgin Mary's Immaculate Heart is the template for all human hearts. It is this new heart that the prophet Isaiah spoke of, that Christ wishes to place in all men. This was all made possible by the sorrow, pain, love, and the shed precious blood of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Christ suffered and died for the sins of men, and Mary suffered because of the sins of men. The suffering of Jesus and Mary is inseparable, just as the suffering any mother experiences when her own son, her own flesh and blood, suffers. Therefore, she is properly referred to as the co-redemptrix, the origin and source of power of man's transformation into a child of God is Jesus' sacred heart, and the destination is Mary's immaculate heart. Those who do not conform to the cornerstone and the swords of sorrow will die in obstinate contradiction. The stumbling block will crush them, and the swords will pierce them through and through with eternal death. The same stumbling block and cornerstone and sword that purges, purifies, and saves the good-willed kills and condemns the bad-willed who are obstinate. The double-edged sword that destroys them, as mentioned in the Apocalypse, is a sword of truth, a sword that even pierces the just with sorrow and suffering. Quote, "And out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he may strike the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God the Almighty. And the rest were slain by the sword of him that sitteth upon the horse, which proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh." Apocalypse 19, verse 15 and 21. This sword represents the seven swords of sorrow that pierced Mary's immaculate heart because of men's sins. Yes, Christ suffered and died for the sins of men, but Mary suffered because of the sins of men. These swords of sorrow are directly related to the sufferings and pain her Son Jesus Christ had to endure. God among sinful, wretched, malicious, selfish, and unthankful men. This is why saints and popes teach that Mary, as the co-redemptress, Mary is the co-redemptrix. The object of her great sorrows is Jesus Christ, Almighty God Himself, and His sufferings, pain, and death upon the Holy Cross. And woe to those who upon Christ's second coming, or upon their own death, are found in original or mortal sin. "For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and woe to you who would eternally pierce our dear mother's immaculate heart with swords of sorrow, because of your unrepented, set wicked sins. Yea, you would re-crucify Christ eternally in heaven if you could. But no more, for the joy in heaven and upon the new earth, paradise is eternal, and this sword that you would not submit to while you lived, so as to share in her sufferings, sorrow, and pain that she endured for the love of Christ, will pierce you through and through with eternal death. This is because you have merged yourself completely with your sins, body and soul, so that your whole essence has become sin itself. Quote, sin shall be destroyed with a sinner, end quote. Ecclesiastes 27:3. Best to let the cornerstone crush and the sword pierce your sins while you yet live, so as to separate them from your body and soul, purging and purifying you, so that you may not kill your, they may not kill you eternally upon your judgment day before the throne of Almighty God. Apocalypse 20:11-15. And that means all you folks out there that aren't Catholic, you're outside the Catholic Church, you're on the broad road to hell, you have not yet conformed yourself to God's will, you have not yet crucified yourself and submitted to the stumbling block and been pierced with the swords onto any fruit. As of now, you're anybody who's out there, anybody who's not with us here, me as a remnant in this, that's abjured, and that's almost everybody in the entire world, especially those who call themselves Catholic, even you're not Catholic, you're outside the Catholic Church. And anybody who's not Catholic, like Jews and Muslims, they have to themselves come into the Catholic Church and get baptized. And then even all Catholics are not saved. Most Catholics, even when we see them coming into the church in these final days, most of them are going to go to hell too. Because most Catholics even end up in hell. They have not conformed themselves to the stumbling block and to the swords of sorrow. They too will end up in hell and be pierced through and through. So let this be a warning to everybody out there. And also, especially how important it is to have devotion to the seven swords of sorrow, the Blessed Virgin Mother. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.